Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 9-11 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for tuning in on Mayor Thursday. We do, in fact, have a mayor in the house. His name is Chris Staley. Hello, Mr. Staley. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning.
Good to see you in here, man.
Good to be here.
Everything good?
Great. Yes, of course.
You've been traveling all over the world?
Not recently. And we talked about Canada last time. Provo's not really all over the world. I have a son up there.
All over the state, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, all over the state. Like
Steve Whitakind is here as well. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Man? I'm doing great.
Thanks for coming on. Again. My wife has a nickname for Steve. I don't like it that my wife has nicknames for other guys. I think that's a little weird. She doesn't have a nickname for me except, hey, you, or whatever. Put that down, you idiot. That sometimes, something like that. But, Stevie Wonder, they call him. She calls him, yes. Because I guess you're a wonder with computers?
I fix the Wi-Fi for her. That's wondrous.
I got to tell you, Steve, I know it's an underappreciated quality, but those of us who are not super tech savvy, when someone like you comes in and fixes things, it's a wonder to us. It really is. We're amazed.
That's been my career for a long time now.
Now, I saw a meme, Steve. It said, why are IT guys so grumpy? And it was, well, if you've ever driven 3 hours to help somebody plug something in or just turn it off and on again, you'd be grumpy too. Is that kind of true?
Kind of true, yeah. If I had a bigger area I took care of, I'm sure it would happen.
Well, St. George, or Washington City, rather, is lucky to have you. So, and is it your son that also works for the city? No. Who am I thinking of?
Yeah, you're thinking of the old power director, Kelly.
Oh, Carlson, yes.
Carlson, that's right. All right, I get him. My wife comes home and talks about work all the time, and I'm like, I don't know who these people are, most of them. So
Shelly came in clutch for me yesterday. She
You had like a last-minute thing you had to get
like
done.
A last-minute thing that I forgot that was, you know.
Yeah, she called me. She says, I got to do this now. And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? She's like, just talk to me while I'm doing it. I'm like, okay, I can do that. So
she always comes in clutch, but it's always best to give her some lead time.
Yeah, she's the fixer. She'll fix it. Whatever's broke, except for the computer, then Steve's the fixer.
That's right.
So you were talking about, actually with Joe just a moment ago, about the power grid. Now, yesterday's, I think it was St. George City, issued the orange alert, or was it the county that issued the orange alert to conserve power?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but basically they're asking us not to use big appliances, especially during the peak heat time between the hours of 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. It was weird. I mean, if you look at the post, it had hundreds of comments, and a lot of them were, screw you, I ain't turning my stuff down, there's no way. And I was like, you know, here's the thing, folks. You may feel that way. You may want to say, I ain't doing that or whatever. And guess what? You're going to have a brownout or a blackout because you're not willing to pitch in a little bit. And guess what? You're going to really hate it when it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 112 degrees, and your air conditioner doesn't work.
It runs off power.
Yeah. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like a really big ask to me to not use big appliances during those hours. That seems pretty easy, actually.
It's common sense.
Yeah. Do your laundry in the morning or later in the evening. You don't have to do it at 4 o'clock.
Grill outside.
Yeah.
Instead of smoking with your, on your stovetop or your oven.
Tell me about, you said you hit, is it an all-time high?
Well, it was interesting. So in our work session last night, we had our power director, Rick Hansen, and he's been on the radio with you before. Mm-hmm. But he was presenting some updates on our power capital facilities plan. And so I just inquired how our grid was holding up. And he said, Mayor, just an hour ago, we hit the all-time peak load for Washington City.
Wow.
Now, if you're in Washington and you're above the Virgin River, north of the Virgin River, you're on Washington City Power. Generally. And if you're south of the Virgin River, you're on Dixie Power. So when we talk Washington City Power, it's about half of our residents.
Okay.
But to put this in perspective, in 1987, when Washington City bought the power company from Rocky Mountain, our peak load that year was 3.59 megawatts.
3.59. That's okay.
Prior to yesterday, our peak load was 52.5 megawatts.
So 14, 15, 16 times when you first
You're doing the math in your head faster than I am on that one.
But what about yesterday?
54.9, just shy of 55 megawatts. So it was it was a substantial peak with this heat wave.
Yeah.
Of course, we had growth and more commercial pulling on the grid. But
can we handle it? I mean, is it okay that we did that?
We are handling it, and we're in a better power economic market this year than we were last year. But certainly, when you stress test any utility like that, I mean, in the back of your mind, I can see why these warnings are going out. I said, just be smart, you know, click that thermometer up a few notches, close the west facing blinds. Don't run your laundry in your oven. Just be smart with, you know, the timing of your things, with your usage of appliances, and you know, we're okay. There's not a panic, but you know, it's new territory.
Yeah. One of the commenters was, I put my thermostat at 69 degrees all year round, and I ain't moving it. And I was just like, really, dude?
Great.
Like, seriously?
Anyway, I'll stop shy of saying something I might regret. Sometimes I forget that it's just us, you know, here.
No, we're just hearing this. Nobody's listening, right? Stockton, nobody can hear us, right? It's just us three. We're just hanging out.
You have that effect, Andy. You just draw us in.
Yeah, maybe so. That's a good thing, though, because then I can get you to talk a little bit. And I just don't. I don't want you to say things you don't want to say, though. That would be bad. But I will say this: I don't think it's that hard and really that big of an ask to. I mean, if you have to have your thermostat low, what 70 versus 69 or 71 versus 69? You know, bump it up a couple. We keep ours at 78, 77.
Yeah, mine was I cool mine off just a little bit at night, but before I leave for work, I bump it back to 76.
Yeah, you know what? The house, a lot of times, is empty all day.
My Yorkie's fine. Yeah. He'll be okay.
She's wearing a coat, though. So, a lot of the comments centered around, why should I turn my whatever down or not run my, you know, whatever, because if they're just going to keep building and building and building you know, in a way, you can say, well, they got a little bit of a point, but the thing is that doesn't excuse you from not, you know, trying to help out.
Those are short-sighted attitudes, yes. I think, yes. And you know, we there's a lot of things that what we do affects those around us, and I'm just kind of a believer. We take responsibility and do our best where we can.
I like that. There are a lot of people that are, and I know people who are pretty selfish. They're like, no, I'm taking care of me, and the rest of you don't matter. And that's frustrating to me sometimes. I just look at them like, really? How can you live that way? You know what I mean? It's kind of frustrating. So, but we have guys like Mayor Staley here who gets paid a whole bunch of money to be mayor.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting rich being mayor.
Yeah.
Okay, not really. He's not making
Tell my wife that.
Yeah, I know. We did the math once. You make like a dollar or something an hour or something for all the work you do as mayor. So
yeah.
I just hope your insurance business is surviving at all.
We're doing okay.
Yeah,
got a good team there, and we're doing okay.
That's good, because you probably have to ignore some of the stuff that you used to not ignore.
They give me some grace. You know, yesterday I was doing mayor duties all day, and so they just take care of things, and I'll catch back up this afternoon and do my best. But I'm really fortunate to have good people there and that have been with me for long enough that we have a good relationship, and
yeah, that's good.
They can handle it well.
Now, Steve, will you unveil to us a little bit the world of a IT guy? I guess, for lack of a better word, IT guy. You're more than IT guy. What is your job title, first of all? And then what consumes most of your day?
Well, the job title is actually Information Services Director, which...
IS director. Okay.
Which is common, but we did it because it encompasses all the social media, the website, the security cameras. I'm a producer.
Wow.
An amateur still, but I produce every Wednesday the public meetings on YouTube.
Oh, nice.
And several other
Does the mayor tell you, this is my good side, and this is like Tom Hanks, you know, I got the good side and the bad side, and... Or no?
Sometimes. You'll hear my name into the mic because they treat me like I'm up in the sky.
Yeah, we look up.
Because I'm not actually in the room.
Because the speakers are in
the media god.
We're like,
yes. Hey, Steve. Okay.
But we've, with that, we were able to automate the whole room so that I can actually run it from my house because it's more comfortable than sitting in my office till sometimes.
Well, and those meetings are nighttime, right?
Yeah,
long nighttime.
Hey, we were quick last night, though.
Yes.
We had that rolling.
It rolled through. There was a lot of agenda items, and they got done fairly early last night.
I don't mess around. We get in that groove.
Good for you. All right. So you got, you know, obviously the YouTube broadcast. You're trying to take care of the server, I guess it is.
That's what they call it. That encompasses, for instance, our network goes through 8 or 9 buildings through different connections, fiber and other connections. And so it's pretty sophisticated, but it's behind the scenes. So most people believe we're playing video games. And that's the way we like it. Because if they believe we're not playing video games, that means something's wrong. So.
It's like the water guy always tells me. He says, you know, if water comes out of your tap and it's not green or whatever, then that's a good thing. They don't think about us. If it comes out clear, they don't think about us. When they're thinking about us, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, and that's our accolades. Nobody's thinking about us. That's when we know we can celebrate.
Are there proprietary programs that a city uses that no one else in the world uses? I know, for instance, my wife was in the courts for a long time, and they used a couple of different programs that she had to learn specifically for the courts. I think what was one of them called? Well, you know better than I do. But basically, these programs are things that you probably, as the IS director guy, you had to learn them a little bit too.
Yeah, a little bit, enough to get them working. But yes, we use the same application.
Chorus, I think, is the one. Yeah,
Chorus was built by the state of Utah, so it's very unique to the courts because it's only for them, and they maintain and administer it as well. But yeah, our applications are the same as everybody's. We have accounting, but our accounting software is specifically built for your municipality. And we have asset management, but again, an asset in a city could be a tree or a road or a building. So we don't have completely unique asset management, but the way it's assembled is specific for governments and municipalities.
Hmm.
And some big applications like that.
It's a pretty specialized deal, then. All that stuff is very specialized because you can't say, well, this company makes, you know, widgets and the city has the city, and like you said, it has a tree or a road or a dam or whatever as part of the city.
And when it's specialized, it's expensive. So we're fortunate that a lot of our softwares are cooperative. So like the police software is a cooperative of the entire county, for instance.
About a month ago, maybe longer, all the government websites had to switch to .gov, right? And I know, you know, I deal with the Water Conservancy District. I deal with the Health Department, St. George City, Washington City. And a lot of them came on and said, well, our website's changing. It's no longer .org or whatever it was. It's now .gov. Was that a big project for you? Did you have to change much?
We didn't change at all.
You didn't have to change. You were already there.
No, so Washington is obviously a very common name. So I did try to procure a .gov, but there isn't anything available that matches our .org. So I think people.
So you didn't have to.
No,
I
don't think it was a requirement put upon us. Unless you're part of a network, some cities are part of the state network or something. They might have gotten that from them, but we're independent, so we get to choose.
Way to go!
And we were very fortunate that a previous council member, who's related to the mayor, had purchased WashingtonCity.org and had switched it over to the city shortly after I started. So.
Did he sell it to the city? Did it cost money?
I don't know. Would Trent do that? Did I just say his name?
Yes.
Trent, his initials are TS. That's it. all right. Well, that's good. I just am curious. So, at being part of the... like, is that a choice, then, as being part of the state network as far as the website and all that stuff?
Well, we actually left the state network in about 2005.
Okay.
So we're completely independent. We do have to follow rules from the state and the county, obviously, because it kind of goes down the chain. But that's not one they've given to me yet.
Are other cities in the county part of the state network as opposed to you guys?
I think only the smaller ones are left on there because then they don't have to hire a full IT department. But I don't believe St. George is part of the state network either.
Doing their own thing. Okay.
I think they bought a .gov because they could.
Now, is there one person full-time assigned to maintaining websites?
No, that's part of my duties.
That's part of you. Oh, you're the guy, huh?
I used to be able to split it, but it's when you hire people, you have to hire for their skills, and there's nobody else that...
Nobody had the skills to do it.
Not currently. There was previously, there was two of us, and now there's just me.
Well, and if I, correct me if I'm wrong, but we had a conversation about this years ago. Didn't you build it? You built the website, so you're the perfect guy to maintain it.
Yes. So we have a custom website. I've had other cities ask who our vendor is, and it's like, oh, it's me.
It's me, yeah.
But it was me and a previous employee.
I gave him a hard time years ago. I'm like, look at our website. We can do better. And then now we have in my opinion, the best, and others try to model. And so I'm really grateful for his initiative there.
It's fun to stay ahead. That's my version of softball nowadays. I get to compete with the other websites and try to stay a little bit ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand that. Now I gotta say, though, your job then becomes this job where there are certain doors to walk through that only you could walk. Right? Aren't there people that would... You have special knowledge about certain things that nobody in the world has. And so if you were to say, if Mayor say this, you're fired, then you, the website would be in trouble, right?
Look, if he goes, I go.
You're going together.
You heard it here.
Okay, yeah, we're going to write that down, Mayor.
If I go, he stays, okay? The voters determine if I stay or go.
Yeah, the knowledge and the institutional knowledge would be hard to replace. But I think our growth is such that when I do decide to, you know, move on to more relaxing life, that they would have to just replace with multiple people anyway. I mean, we're almost there as it is. So.
I don't want to guess your age, Steve, but I think you're a ways from retirement still. Am I right?
I started early.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, because you got to get to 30 years, right, if you work for the government.
Which is 3 years away from me.
Really?
Yes.
That close. Okay. My wife, Mayor, by the way, my wife could retire in March. She gets her 30 years in March.
It's the same thing for Shelley. If she goes, I go.
I told her, I said, you got to walk into the city manager office and say, you want to keep me, it's going to cost you, buddy. She said, yeah, right. So, and I've done that. How many times in my career? Oh, wait, I've never done that either.
She could get away with it.
Maybe, perhaps. She's more valuable than me. You could get a trained monkey to do my job. I think.
You're really good at what you do.
All right. We're talking to Washington City today with Mayor Saley, also Steve Wittekind, who is the... what was your job title again?
IS. IS Director.
What does that stand for?
Information Services.
Information Services. There we go. What's your degree in?
It's in Business Information Systems.
BIS. Yeah, yes. Shelley actually has that exact same degree.
Does she? Yeah, so we know business more than information, but...
Yeah.
But you learn the rest on the job, I guess.
When we went to college, my wife and I, there things like spreadsheets were brand new, you know, and like the professor was like, here's how you run a spreadsheet. And we're like, okay, we're never going to use this. We were wrong. We were way wrong. We did learn Excel back in the day.
My daughters joke with me that spreadsheets are my love language. My degree's in accounting, and so we're working on something. I'll put it to a spreadsheet, and so that's kind of the inside family joke that if Dad puts together a spreadsheet.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I do want to remind everybody here on the Andy Griffin Show, you're welcome to text or call anytime. Our text line is 435-467-5842. I've got my phone right in front of me if you want to text a question to Mayor Saley or Steve Wittekind, the smart guy in the room.
That's right.
If you want to call, 673-5890. That's 435 area code. And then 673-5890. That's our AM number, 890. So we'd love to hear from you. Mayor got a question last month when he was on. And Mayor, I know you want to address that shortly if you want to.
Yeah, sure. So the question was in regards to the intersection near the Lynn's grocery store. So this is where the Washington and St. George border kind of connect.
Yeah.
So in St. George, you've got 3000 East and Mall Drive. In Washington, you have Sandia and Merrill. So to address the Sandia portion.
So even though they're the same roads, they have different names.
They change names as they go into that intersection. Two of the roads coming in are Washington, two are St. George. So.
Okay.
So going north from 3000, it turns into Sandia. That that road is as wide as it's going to get in the foreseeable future. There is a right turn lane if you're heading south, turning onto Mile Drive. Mm-hmm. So that is built out. I think the bigger question was on Merrill. So what we're talking about is south of the new Fields office building, south of Riverside Elementary. There's those Fields, and then further south is the Red Cliffs Temple. So that road along there,
okay,
it has needed some attention. So I drove it, in fact, this morning, and we and some of our city public works guys were out there working. So they're leveling out kind of a sinkhole area. They're leveling out a manhole that was a little high. And they're also just kind of doing some patching and repairing. So there's some new asphalt in front of the Fields office building. But longer term, because south of the Fields office building and south of Riverside Elementary, that is part of the St. George annexation boundary. And we understand things are happening there. We're really waiting to do the more resurfacing work until that development goes. So we're trying to, keep it nice, as nice as we can, keep it in good repair. But more improvements would happen in conjunction with the development to the south, which would mean then the full build-out of Merrill.
Okay.
All right. So we don't totally control it because the way the border is, that's in St. George on the south.
It's a little bit of a weird area, right? Because you have the two cities bordering.
Yeah, it takes some coordination, but we're really trying. There's some other road projects going on. I'm happy to address those or happy to follow your lead on whatever you want to talk about this morning.
Well, I did just get a text. Somebody said, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this, Mayor. They said, why did Washington City allow those ugly walls to go up on I-15?
Yeah. So
I've heard that online, but I've also heard other people say they want sound walls.
So you're talking about sound walls.
Yeah.
So, again, you've heard me say also that as a mayor and administration, we're carrying baggage that we didn't load.
Right.
This is part of that. So the environmental study for the Main Street interchange and I-15 widening predated my service as mayor. And, frankly, when I came back onto the council, it predated that. But part of that environmental study went out to the neighbors whose homes are adjacent to I-15.
Right.
And as I understand, in order for the federal requirements for sound walls to be put up, it requires 70% of those residents to ask for the sound walls.
Hmm.
So if that threshold were met, that is why so that's a requirement that UDOT put on. This is a UDOT project, not a Washington City project. They did put up the sound walls. Now, I will tell you that they, I don't love the sound walls either. I mean, I think if I lived there, I would appreciate the noise abatement. But I can tell you that they're not going to be gray forever. They are going to be painted more of a tan color. And I can tell you that just instead of just kind of an ugly, just gray slab, we did try to put a design into the sound wall. So we did the best we could within the federal requirement and UDOT's project on insisting on the sound walls. And even I think the interchange is looking nice too, with the faux red rock and those abutments and bridge will also be painted tan. So that's going to look better than it does. Not ideal. If I had my choice, I would rather not have the sound walls, but not my call.
Somebody, another person commented, said those ugly walls could be 4 feet shorter and would make all the difference and still keep the sound.
Yeah, they're too, I didn't realize they'd be that tall either.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing that.
Yeah. I drove that area day before yesterday, on Main Street there it's getting close, it seems like, because it's like it's ready, but they're not ready, right? All the infrastructure involved there. But I was actually shocked at how close that one house is right on the corner of Main to what will be the on-ramp headed north.
On the south side.
It's right there. Holy cow.
Yeah. There are three or four houses at least that used to be right there that are no longer there. So it's a tough situation. It certainly isn't ideal. And I will tell you this, that in fact, I was just looking at the aesthetic plan. We pushed back really hard on what UDOT initially was going to do and ultimately what we got. It was a bit of an arm wrestle. And, I tried that over-the-top move to get all the leverage I could. Yeah. And I got what we could for it. So aesthetically, it's not just gray ugly. we're getting some design, we're getting some tan, we're getting that faux rock, we're getting, you know, a landscape plan that matches into our main street. We're getting an alignment that that works well on the north side. But again, you know, if I could chop those sound walls all the way down or in half, I absolutely would. It's not something we were able to get done.
You know, Mayor, I've talked to some people about you, and they're like, one thing that comes across very clear with Crest Daily is he loves Washington City. He loves where he grew up. He loves where he lives. He loves the area. Is this Exit 11 or Main Street Exit, whatever we're calling it, is it going to change Washington City?
And change is hard.
Significant.
Yeah. You know, I didn't dare answer that because in my heart, I go back to my childhood there, and not just mine, but there are, you know, so many friends and people that have lived there for generations that don't want those things to change. But it's hard to see that happening. You know, just to kind of pivot a little bit, you know, we're doing this old gym remodel downtown, and traffic is going to drop onto our main street and come downtown. And as part of that, you know, we've had some basketball courts that were there for
the outdoor ones,
or the outdoor basketball courts.
In fact,
not by me, anything I had to do with it, but named after my brother, the Kipps Daily basketball courts, because he just played out there day and night and petitioned the city to have a light put up so he could play at night. But, you know, as progress happens and we reinsert life and we evolve and change, it's hard to see that happen. In fact, when I drove by and saw those courts being torn up, I couldn't go home. I had to go by to my brother's house and just kind of talk it through, because it's so hard to see these things change to the, you know, the community and the city we love. And so I think as we move forward and we move forward in life like we do in communities, they evolve and change. And so hopefully we'll be able to create new opportunities, new places, new experiences for current future generations.
Well said. Whether we like it or not, the world has changed a lot. You know, my son sent me a video, not a music video, but a video of someone playing music on a show. It was ZZ Top from the 80s. And I was like, oh, man, life was so much simpler, more fun, easier back then. Of course, I was a teenager, so of course it was more fun and simpler. But I get what you're saying, Mayor, that, you know, that the old times are great and we need to remember them fondly, but they're gone.
Yeah, we can't live there, right? We live in the now. We live in the future. Some of the cool things happening, though, is you talk about that Main Street and that I-15 corridor. We have the frontage road to the north at Buena Vista. Mm-hmm. There are some exciting things happening there. In fact, we just approved a conditional use permit last night for a credit union. But within this credit union, it's also an office building with two quick-serve restaurant or retail all in one building.
Really?
And that's going to be there by the Maverick on the north side near exit 10 at Greenspring. So there are some other additional services coming along Buena Vista. And then also another thing that was approved last night is we awarded a bid to widen Buena Vista Boulevard to 5 lanes.
Oh, wow.
So if you're in Washington heading west into St. George, it's going to be widened to 5 lanes so it matches up with Red Hills.
Now, what about that little bottleneck? And it's not in Washington City anymore. But when you go south off the freeway and Green Springs Drive, there's like it goes 2 lanes and then for just like a quarter mile, it's down to 1 lane, and then it widens back out of the intersection. Do you know if that's going to change? That's always been a bottleneck.
On which road are we talking?
On Buena Vista / Red Hills.
So that area.
And that RV park right there.
As we're going west, that's in the Washington side. We're going to widen to 5 lanes so that matches up to the 5 lanes in St. George.
Okay.
So as I understand, I'm not familiar with St. George, but as I understand, that will take care of that 5-lane widening, at least on our side, and it should line up with 5 lanes in St. George. But I'm not 100% sure on the St. George side. I just looked at the plans from the Washington side.
Are we allowed yet to talk about that grocery store that we're not allowed to talk about, but everybody knows?
No, but we soon will be.
Okay.
There, Mayor, so we're talking, you know, if a conditional use permit comes through within the next month or so, then can we announce it here first?
Yes, please.
Can we do that officially?
Please. Although I've seen it on the internet 1,000 times already, so it's not official yet.
See no, speak no, hear no.
Yeah.
Contractually, just trying to do my job.
Let me just say there is very likely a grocery store coming in over by the boilers that I like the store. I always hit that one of those when I am up in northern Utah. And they sell bulk foods, among other things. And
yeah. It'll be a regional draw and new to the area.
Yeah.
Did I say too much?
No, you did not.
Okay.
You're doing very well, actually.
You've become an actual politician.
Steve hasn't said anything during this break.
He's letting
Chris Haley get in trouble.
I'm not qualified for legal advice.
That's true. He's the IS guy or the IT guy, the IS director, IT guy. All right, got another text. Let's see. Has any car dealerships committed to the auto mall, Mayor?
So the Findlay Hyundai is going vertical. It's looking really nice.
Oh, you sound like McCray Hepler. It's going vertical.
Yeah, maybe his verbiage is rubbing off.
That means they're putting walls up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're called out the Sandy Hills Auto Mall, and the sign looks great. I keep hearing a number of rumors, but I'm not aware of any additional official commitments. That the road there is Merit Way. There are a few little things that need to happen there as well, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that more will come once Findlay Hyundai opens its doors, that we'll see more. It's a great spot. It's gonna be great.
That reminds me, and not necessarily related to Findlay, but just about as we have our IT expert guy here, ransomware. One of the car dealerships in town, I'm not saying it's Findlay, but one of the car dealerships in town had their software hijacked. And I'm just wondering, it's got to be a concern for a guy that runs the city, everything about the city as far as internet and IT and server and all that stuff. Is that something that you have to actively fight against, Steve?
Yes, we do. And a lot of that is training, because most of the ransomware comes in through a user.
Yeah.
And so we do, we'll call it virtual dikes to keep things kind of safe and separated, but we also force every user that has accounts to go through training.
And do you send out like fake ones, like
yes,
to try to trap them and say, "Look what you did, you dummy!
Don't sell me out."
And they've made me very popular. But yes,
and he's being sarcastic, folks.
Yeah, a lot of details we keep close, but one detail I can share is when we started the program of training, it gives you a score of your organization, and we were at a 30% plus fail rate. And now we're consistently below 6% fail rate. So I think, as far as our users go, they're a good first line of defense in Washington.
Well, I think what we've all been trained by this is that if anything looks suspicious at all, first of all, we're trained to pay attention to the email. And then if there's any suspicion, we just reach out to IS, whether it's Steve or one of his employees there.
Yeah.
And we just say, "Hey, is this legit?"
Well, and they're getting so good, Steve, I think I got two just today. Because we're a big corporation, we're Town Square Media. We get them all the time. They'll send us fake ones just to try to trap us and get us to have to take the training again. I only did it once. But, you know, your bank account is overdrawn, or you owe this much money to so-and-so. Click here to solve the problem. I mean, every single day we get stuff like that.
And currently they're coming out using AI. So they'll take this radio show, the recording of the mayor here, and have a fake phone call or something come to an employee asking them to transfer money or something.
Wow.
So that's the next generation of our fight.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get a real commercial in, not an AI commercial right now. When we come back, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes to talk about the mayor's council and how the city is building affordable housing. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, Mayor Thursday, here on the Andy Griffin Show. Mayor Chris Staley with me, along with Steve Wittekind. What do you prefer? Either one?
I don't think I have a preference.
Oh,
either one.
Okay. Wittekin. I'm going to call you Wittekin because it's easier to say. Mayor, you guys had a forum. You and What was it, four other mayors?
Yeah, the Mayor's Association, and four or five of us were on a panel.
Okay, so you sat on the stage in chairs and people fired questions at you, kind of?
Sean Guzman from the City of St. George moderated the questions, and we took some questions from the audience, and then I kind of gave some closing remarks.
Oh, you did?
On it. Because I brought this to the association, I said, hey, peers, we should address this.
And your peers were, let's see, Michelle Randall, Chris Hart, Rick Rosenberg, you, and there was one more.
Barbara Bruno from Springdale.
Springdale, okay, nice. We didn't get Nanette. What was Nanette doing?
Nanette was there. She actually got up and made some great remarks as well. We just kind of took a cross-section of the mayors, and so we felt like we kind of would cover kind of Hurricane's issues as well.
Well, we hear the governor talking about it all that. We need more affordable housing. All the cities in Utah need to make more affordable housing. That's kind of a misnomer a little bit in that the cities don't make affordable housing, right?
Well, we're subject to the same market conditions as anyone else, but that was kind of what prompted me to bring this to the Mayor's Association, is that from the state level, from, you know, the governor's office a little bit, and the legislature, and even some of the, you know, private organizations and groups, they started to create this narrative that this lack of attainable affordable housing is because it's the city's fault.
You don't want them.
And, yeah. You know, I'm happy to just listen to things that are incorrect to a point. And then at some point, I feel like we have a duty, a responsibility to correct the narrative.
I got to say something.
And so that was our motive, was just to, rather than let the narrative control us, we thought we should at least try to correct the narrative and guide it back to the private sector. And then also articulate the efforts that are within cities' purview. And then what we've done to address those. So essentially what we were saying is we've done our part, the entitlement process, the inspections, the, you know, just the ease to work with, the flexibility. We're doing our part. Private sector, it's up to you. And so with some of my remarks, I didn't want to guilt or shame the community, because that doesn't resolve anything or help. Yeah. But I decided to take this approach of asking them to think about the home they grew up in. I asked them, I took probably a little longer than I should have, but even to the point of, you know, how big was the home? Was it a square or rectangular home? Did it even have a garage? How big was the garage? Anyway, what I ultimately came down to is build more homes like you grew up in. Build homes like your parents grew up in. We don't have to be fancy, but we can find opportunities for that sector. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So as a community, we're going to lose out on some of the services that we need.
You got three kids. You don't need a 4,000 square foot home, is what you're saying.
No. Yeah. What we need is we need housing like we grew up in.
I agree with you. And I would say, you know, if you have a lot of kids, I guess a bigger house helps. But
I shared a room with my brother. Yeah. It turned out okay.
Yeah, I lived in an unfinished basement for a while. Yeah. That was our extra room was the basement, and they're like, we're gonna finish it someday.
So I guess my challenge was to the private sector is to model and build more modest homes like we grew up in, and there's spots in each of our cities for that.
Well, hopefully builders will respond. Hopefully. All right, Steve, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it, Chris. Always a pleasure. It's the Andy Griffin Show. Open lines tomorrow. Look forward to talking to you then. Mello will join me here on the air as well. Have a good day, everybody.